Welcome. We trust you will be encouraged by this message from Mahesh and Bonnie Chavda, presented by Chavda Ministries International. Real love, real people, real power.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Praise God. Now, you would have been free to wear a Kansas City. Yes, the Chiefs or the 49ers. You want to know who I'm rooting for?
Yes.
I'm rooting for. You what? Huh? Anyway, I'm cheering for Kansas City. Because that's many years ago, we went to a Kansas City Chiefs game.
Yeah, a couple of them. We had good friends, still good friends in Kansas City who are friends actually with the players and coach. And
yeah, they had a booth.
That. Yeah.
But we pray blessing on all who are playing, the God protect them as they go. But this is Super Bowl Sunday.
So if you are fasting, you can take encouragement and perhaps even the leading of a former event in your pastor's life when he was on a 40-day water fast. And on day number 18, a big, huge bag of potato chips started talking to him. Said, we're here. We're crunchy. We're salty. We're lonely. And he did. He obeyed the call. He ripped it open, ate every single potato chip in the bag. That was like the Super Bowl super size. And the next day went back on the fast. So if you need a special Super Bowl dispensation from your fast, we give it to you freely.
I did. This was during my bachelor days. And I didn't like shopping, going to shop for groceries, all of that. So I used to go. Now we have Costco. At that time, in Texas, where I was living, pastoring, there was a big thing like Costco called Skaggs Albertsons. And they would make special potato chips. Those for the large family that would last them a month. And so you talk about this kind of, that those are the potato chips that, I mean, I would.
You were outnumbered. I mean, face it.
Well,
there were a lot of them in there.
I never knew until that time that potato chips have a voice. And they can talk with you. They'll chase after you. And we are so tasty. Anyway, they started telling me. And they were not lies. They were true. I ripped open the bag and ate everyone. And someone asked me later, did you start over? I said, no. I pleaded the blood. I was under the blood. So that's my potato chip story. But we're going to have I'm going to give you a scripture. Yes. And they're just the scenario. I like the sense of community on the Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah.
It's almost like the Christmas Day or something, because everybody is joining in. Well, we should someday have a Super Bowl party right here.
We could do that very easily.
Just maybe it's from the Holy Spirit. I don't know, I got a word. But it is really sweet to see the sense of community. But we are ourselves, and learn that we ourselves are on the greatest Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That we are. And I'll give you a picture here. It's in Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing, there are going to be, multiple millions of people watching the Super Bowl. The Chiefs, 49ers, right? I got it correct. I agree too. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So our coach, you could say, is Jesus. He has made the journey. He's the finisher and author of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and he's set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And that's why he is sitting. There are certain scenarios where he's standing, and one of them was Stephen, as he was being stoned. He looked, and Jesus was standing at that time. But he has achieved what he wanted to achieve for the salvation of every family and every person on earth. And then, as the work was accomplished, he sat down. And he's sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. And then,
but as our coach, he also has given us our own personal trainer who is with us and in us, the sovereign Lord himself, the Holy Spirit.
And he's the best coach.
Yeah.
Awesome. And be very conscious that your friend is with you. Wherever you go, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, God says. And the Holy Spirit especially, he watches over us and lets us know. And they will. I remember many moons ago, I was doing crusades in some of the major cities of Taiwan. And but the head of the CIA picked me up at the airport. Now that's really, I mean, that's the whole, the Secret Service and the CIA. He wanted to, because there was a very influential friend of one of the most wealthiest and powerful men in Taiwan, was very sick, and they wanted me to go pray for him. Immediately as I landed there, pretty much. And he took me to one of the best restaurants in Taipei. But then he took me to pray for his friend who had died. See, at that first time, my impression was he was sick. The only thing they would say, he's sick, so.
When you got to the house,
found out he had been dead for a week, and they had preserved his body in a refrigerator.
And it was there in the house, a refrigerated coffin.
And wanted me to pray. And I did not know.
What would you do?
I wanted to tell him, if you notice, this man is not only dead, he's frozen.
He stinketh.
No, I didn't. It didn't
dead,
stink.
Dead.
No, it didn't stink. And I didn't put my head down to smell. But there are certain cultures, there are protocols. Mm-hmm. How do you behave? How,
yeah.
And I needed to. Nobody was there to tell me what to do. And here you are. And first I wanted to point out to them, do you know this man is dead? And but they believed that I would pray. They had read that many years ago in the Congo, the Lord had resurrected this child. But it was sovereign move of God. And suddenly I heard the voice of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, say, just guided me step by step what to do. And he said, don't turn your back. And then later I found out that was the protocol. There's an honored dignitary in that culture. You don't turn your back on them until you withdraw several steps, maybe 15, 20 steps, I forget how many. And then I could turn. but you cannot turn your back because that would be an insult. And all of that, the Holy Spirit's voice was there guiding me what to do. That's why I'm just saying there are certain times if you don't know what to do, ask the Holy Spirit, and he is there guiding you. Anyway, then in
I think you're going to meet that man in heaven. He's going to say, Mahesh, thank you for your respect. Thank you for not turning your back on me, and thank you for not calling me back.
Yeah. Yeah, it didn't.
Much happier, I mean, here.
It wasn't. He wasn't resurrected. Yeah. Anyway, that how to do those things. And then verse 22, but you are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirit of just men made perfect. In a sense, I was just kind of going on the analogy of the Super Bowl as the guys are there playing. There is millions of people watching their every action. For us, you are also on the eternal Super Bowl, in a sense, that there is a company, vast company of angels that are watching you, and they're cheering you on.
Yes.
And the ones who have gone before, who are on your side, they have gone through this. They themselves are veterans. But there is, in the realm of the Spirit, there is a whole cheering section of people, of believers, and they are there, and they are cheering you on. You are going to make it. Don't give up. Don't give up. And so there is, this in Hebrews, it's just so inspiring. This is where you are right now. In the present, you have come to Mount Zion, you have come to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, and to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. So there is an eternal church that's cheering you on. You're going to make it.
Many of you have heard me tell the story of years ago when Mahesh and I were young pastors serving to raise up the church together with Derek in Fort Lauderdale. And I had a lot of irons in the fire, like most of you do today, like we all do today. And my responsibilities spread very wide, from the home and family, the children, their school stuff, all the way to the church, the women's stuff, various other things. And at the same time, in addition to the pastoring, we also were doing the missions, the Mahesh Chavda Ministries missions in the third world, various other things. And it was a season in my life when I actually was a runner. And I would, after I got the kids to school, before I went to work, I would go down to the Fort Lauderdale beach, and there was a stretch, 3-mile stretch, from a little park to the first condo at that time. And so my run was a 6-mile run. So I would go up and back, and that would be my run. But on this particular morning, in this particular season, that scripture, Hebrews 12:1, lay aside every weight. I felt weighted down by all of my responsibilities. And it was also very easy for me to become self-critical. And I would easily fall into that, become self-critical. And in addition to all of that, Fort Lauderdale, it's hot by 9 o'clock in the morning. It's, huge amounts of humidity. You're running in the sand. So I had every reason that morning to just feel absolutely sorry for myself and miserable. But I also was determined that I was gonna finish my run. And I started meditating on this scripture. Wherefore, seeing we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, and reflecting on all the Hebrews 11 hall of fame of faith. Some of our great heroes, Isaiah the prophet, for instance. I mean, he died a martyr's death. And this is exhorting us that, look, you are in a company of men and women who have overcome and through some of the most difficult seasons in human history, the most difficult circumstances, the most terrible persecution, personal persecution, etc. And those are the ones. That's your company, your cheering section. And so I was meditating on this scripture, and it happened the night before. We had been on the phone with the Festermans, Jay and Sally Festerman. Vesperman, who had a marriage and family healing retreat called the Inn of the Last Resort in Tennessee. But they were dear friends of ours, and they were some of the elders in our particular company of persons together with Derek. And they always demonstrated that they had a heart to pray for Mahesh and I as young marrieds with a lot of responsibility and having traveled the journey themselves and those kind of things. We had tremendous support from them. But Jay was elderly, had fallen ill. He was actually in a coma in the hospital, and his family called just to let us know that they were expecting that he would step into glory within the next few hours. And as we always do, we of course prayed for them and for him over the phone, etc. So that was the evening before, and I wasn't thinking about Jay or anything like that. I was just feeling sorry and miserable and trying to lay hold of this scripture just with the determination that that day I was going to finish that little 6-mile run, like a symbol of my spiritual life, the race, right? And as I was starting up the beach, slogging along, all of a sudden, a man passed me running so fast that a cool wind literally came off of him. And I just caught that momentary glimpse as he ran by, beautiful silver hair, you know, kind of moving in the wind and striding long, these long strides, the coolest pair of running shorts and shoes that I had ever seen. I mean, he just passed me with his huge smile on his face. And as he went by, he cast just a glance, and our eyes met for just a split second. And the man, all in those moments, took 3 strides and got beamed up, dematerialized. In the moment of recognition, it was Jay Vesperman. And I could tell you, I could reach out and touch that man physically, though he was metaphysical. And it was so significant. And when he glanced at me, this scripture came alive. And I just suddenly had this moment of, I am joined with a great company of overcomers. And so, you know, it was in that moment, but it was so dramatic that I looked at my watch. And I finished the run, went home, and when I came into the house, the answering machine back in the day, little red button, I picked it up, and it was Jay's family calling. And the time on my watch when that man had passed me on the beach at Sunrise Boulevard in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, was the moment that he left his human mortal body and stepped into glory. And you know what? He took time on the way to run by and say, you can do this, not just today, but with your whole life. And the thing I want to point out, what does it take? Says it right there in verse 1, patience. This is a marathon, not a sprint.
Yeah, run with patience. If you see me one day running, I'm going to be...
Pastor Mass did used to run. He was a runner.
Yes.
So was I, a long time ago.
But I am not going to be running in shorts. I'm going to ask for a long jogging pants. So, anyway, but
so we are surrounded literally. But I wanted to just tell you or remind you of that very unique experience where I experienced for real. It's true.
And it is the long term. It's a marathon, and so. And run with patience the race that is set before us. And the thing would be that you see some of these major stars, especially in football stars. I've met many of my trials. You find some of these guys, and some who are now retired, but a few that was so... such good shape, and then they mess it up by taking drugs and things. And when their destiny was to be excellent long term, they're goofed up by getting off track and having the wrong priorities, not being wise, conducting themselves wisely. So they were supposed to be long-term runners, but instead their run has been shortened by the wrong choices. So anyway, looking unto Jesus, so he is Amen. The coach that we have, and so be one of the key things about some of these guys is the coaches mm-hmm. that affect them, that really help mold their lives. Mm-hmm. And for us, it's the Lord Jesus, the Father over all watching, and the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. guiding us but day by day.
I remember hearing an interview with a man who was, for a long and stellar part of his career, the head coach at UCLA. His name was John Wooden. And he was raised in the 1920s, 1910, 1920s. He became a teacher in the 1930s. But he had a long history and ultimately became a very famous coach. He led UCLA to 10 of 12 national championships in a row. And his mantra, he had this ethos that actually he got from his father growing up with his brothers on their farm in Iowa or, you know, some very rural place. And he today we see so much celebrity and branding and the equivalency of material riches and all of that being the indicator of success. But the coach's mantra, which he drilled into all of the guys who played for him, was that it's not your reputation, it's your character that says who you really are. And he had a few simple rules like be on time, show up clean and neat, never talk bad or criticize your teammates. That's a good one. And if we realize that we are members of one another, that we win together, then it, you know, that also I think helps us to recognize that we're part of something living and eternal. And indeed, Jesus is the one who is taking us to that day when we will receive the prize, the ultimate prize.
And the other aspect that you find among some of these athletes is that they should, it's for the long distance. Like even tonight as we watch the Super Bowl, that hopefully they will all last through the whole game, because some have, they spend themselves. Or other yeah. athletes, for yeah. example, boxers, for example. In fact, if they're looking at different, they will have strategy where the other boxer doesn't have the wisdom, and he will spend all his strength, yeah. and the guys just will keep away from him until he is totally worn out, and then the other boxer comes and does his stuff.
The Apostle Paul actually brought that up, and he talked about us being boxers. But the strategy was don't waste your spiritual energy and your focus on useless things. On, you know, he said, where it's not like, you know, shadow boxing. This is for real. And you want to spend your energies and your focus in strategic places. And I appreciate the word of the Lord this morning of encouraging us that particularly now, God will help us discern which of those little smooth stones we have already in our arsenal through his equipping that are for the strategy for victory now.
The thing is, I love that when you see these guys coming out and they're coming out running and all that, yeah. and then they toss the yeah. coin. But it reminded me of another group of guys who are champions. These are, you will see the best athletes, best trained athletes this evening with these two teams. They are the best of the best, really. I mean, in the nation, these are some of the best quarterbacks, best of all. It reminded me of, there was in 1 Chronicles 12, talks about the mighty men of war who come to volunteer themselves to do battle on behalf of David. It says in 1 Chronicles 12, verse 8, of the Gadites that went over to David to the stronghold in the wilderness. Men of might, men trained for war, who could handle shield and spear, whose faces were like the faces of lions, and who were swift as gazelles on the mountain. So these were so well trained. And in the realm of the spirit, that's us right now. In the spiritual realm, you are God's mighty men of war. You know how to name the name of Jesus. God will put you in places of challenge. And at that time, like the head of the CIA of a nation takes you to pray over a dead body that's refrigerated, what are you going to do? I mean, to be able to get a word from the Lord in those. So realize the Holy Spirit is with you. We learn to hear the voice of the Lord. And God considers us now his mighty men and women of war. And he says, and among these were men trained for war. And it's the spiritual battle. And that's why I like to encourage people, if you have, we give special time for prayer and spiritual warfare on Friday nights. Love it. We have been doing it for 25 years. But it means something, I believe, to the Lord. And it says they knew how to wield shield and spear, whose faces were like the faces of lions. And they were swift as gazelles in the mountains. They start naming Ezra the chief, Obadiah the second, Eliab the third, Mishmana the fourth, Jeremiah the fifth, Attai the sixth. I mean, these are the guys who, some of the best of the best. These Gadites were officers of the army. The lesser was equal to over 100, and the greater equal to over 1,000. That means they could handle 100 soldiers at one time and defeat them. Or even the chiefest among them, they could handle 1,000 soldiers themselves.
And remember the encouragement, the prophetic word that the Lord gave us last year leading into this year from Isaiah 55, where he said, your influence, your voice, your knowledge, I'll do with you what I did with David. I'll make your witness become leading and your leading become commanding in your specific sphere. So again, as we're coming into 2020, and we've heard that this is the year for the voice, the year for influence. I appreciate Rebecca in the watch. Pastor Mahesh got the phrase, the Lord, our banner of victory for 2020. And Rebecca heard the sound of Psalm 20 that night, just a few weeks right as the year was turning, which is the one, what we saw earlier, the Lord, our banner of victory from Psalm 20, that says, we will rejoice in your salvation and lift up our banners in the name of our God. And that is exactly what David did. When he got called upon, or when he volunteered, basically, he volunteered that day to fight Goliath. And many of you know what would happen. They were in the Valley of Elah, and it was impossible to arrange a military strategy because one army would be fighting uphill and the other down. So what they would do in those scenarios is each side would choose a champion, and there would be hand-to-hand combat between the two. And whichever man won, that gave their army victory. Well, here, they've got Goliath. And they know, Israel knows nobody on our side can beat him. And David had just come to deliver lunch. And he was stunned that the whole army of Israel had no courage and had no champion. I'll do it. And he was mocked, but he stepped up to the plate. They didn't have anybody else. And, you know, they sent him out. But I read what he said when he talked to Saul. He said, look, I've killed a lion. I've killed a bear in a pit on a snowy day or something. And he had strong courage and confidence from the encounters that he had already had. However, the next thing he says is I'm trusting not in my own ability to do that, but in the name of my God that was with me to enable me to do that. And he'll bring that same deliverance now. And I love that. I mean, obviously, it's the name of the Lord is our banner of victory. And in his name, we wield our weapons. In his name, we run.
Some trust in chariots.
Some in horses.
Some on horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord, Psalm 20. So, amen. May you all, as we think of the Super Bowl today, and be anointed to cheer for your right team. We pray that the injuries will be as few as possible. And this event just shows the sense of community I was listening to the TV. But it's like, and it's fun. It's all in good fun. But how much community means, we can't, and how much team means. None of those guys can do it alone. They need the whole team to do well. And I just want to learn in those things. We learned to function under authority. Years ago, we had some of the best coaches.
Yes, we did.
I couldn't have thought, you can read Brother Derek Prince's material even now or listen to some of his teachings. And we had, for nearly 22 years, almost day-to-day coaching. I could call it coaching, discipling, to achieve the great things. May you all, our prayer and our blessing for each of you and your children is may you do exploits in the name of Jesus. May you be anointed. May you be able to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit guide you, and may you do mighty deeds.
Amen.
And our children do even mightier deeds to exercise faith, then go from glory to glory, knowing you are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses who are cheering you on, saying, you're going to make it. You're going to achieve and do great exploits.
Amen.
Because your leaders, the name of your leader is Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Amen.
And he does mighty things. That I remember one service I did in Hungary, Budapest. We got a card, Christmas card from Budapest. And
our friends. Name
our friends, yes. Yeah. And I had a word of knowledge about people being attacked emotionally and spirit of suicide. And 1,500 answered. And I closed my eyes. So, Lord, how am I going to? And I have to, we had a commitment to pray for different. And I couldn't do this and then do that quickly. And I closed my eyes just for a moment, asked the Lord. And I opened my eyes, and all 1,500 people were on the floor. God had already moved over them and done it. So he needed me just to be a little moment, an ambassador, but he was going to do all that stuff. I didn't realize that. I don't know whether you saw, I forget now what the name of it. It was a story of a little bear that grows up.
It was called The Bear, a movie. A movie probably 25, 30 years ago. If you haven't had a chance, you might check it out. It's called The Bear. There is almost zero human dialogue in it. And it's the story of this little bear cub that begins to be stalked by a panther.
And he's an orphan.
He's a little orphan bear. And so a good part of the film is this little bear just running for his life. And he finally ends up in an open field, and the panther is there, ready to get him. And he really didn't have anything else to do. And so he just stands up on his little hind legs and the panther just freezes and turns around and runs off. And the camera pans out. And unbeknownst to the little bear, a big bear had been following him, just watching out for a distance, from a distance. And right at the moment, the little bear really needed a big backup. As the camera pans out, you see this massive bear has stood up on his hind legs behind the little bitty guy. And the panther wasn't looking at the little guy. He was looking at the big guy. And he turned and made a beeline.
Amen.
So, amen. And speaking of ambassadors, our lead into representation and part of our community outreach, Cindy Decker. Cindy, stand up for a minute. With city ambassadors, I encourage you, if you live anywhere in a 100-mile radius of Charlotte-Mecklenburg area, see this woman. We are in a unique season of opportunity for real city engagement and change. So, city ambassadors, Cindy, thank you for representing us.
Amen. So, let's stand.
Thank you, Lord. I'm hearing the sound from Chariots of Fire in my head. You remember Chariots of Fire? A running movie, right? Dun, 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 dun. Really brilliant. True story again. In this one, Eric Little, who actually was martyred for Christ in China during the Boxer Rebellion. But prior to that...
Not Boxer Rebellion, it was later.
No, I think it was.
Boxer Rebellion was... Wait, it's in the late 1800s.
Yeah,
and the
okay.
Boxer Rebellion was...
Okay.
But he was martyred.
Yes, he was in China.
In 19, yeah.
During 19, one of their big communist, you know, whatevers. But he came to fame... because he had a gift for running. And he had a call on his life, a call to ministry. All the religious people, including people in his church denomination and his family, were trying to pull him out of the whole running thing. And there's a line that I'm sure they just put in the movie.
No, he said it.
Good, I'm glad if he did say it, but... In the movie, when everybody was trying to discourage him, and he actually went out for the Olympics, and it was a really crucial time of national and international statement because of what was happening in the world at that time. And he ran in the Olympics and won a title, but... the thing that he says is, he says, you don't understand. When I run, I feel God's pleasure. And so our prayer for you, as you're fasting, as you're praying, as you're living your life of faith towards the Lord Jesus day by day, you are running a race for which the prize is the ultimate grand prize. So let no one take your crown. Let nothing... no weight of responsibility, distraction of the world, certainly no failure of your own or others around you make you stop. Let's run and let's feel the pleasure of God together until we win the crown.
As a crucial race, as he's about to run, there was an American runner who comes up to him and hands him a little note. He opens it and there's a full story of his not willing to run on Sunday because that's Sabbath. So a lot of people criticized him. But as he's about to race on the next day, Braddock, I believe is his name, gave him a little scripture. It's like a prophetic word.
Yeah.
And it's from Isaiah. He who honors me, him will I honor. So remember, we are here. We honor the name of Jesus. And he will back you up 100% like the giant bear. Amen. Let's raise our hands. Father, anoint us. You are cheering us on. We want to, Lord, right now there are thousands of voices, a cloud of witnesses, cheering us on, cheering our children, and that we will achieve great things. As we honor you, may you and your presence honor. do mighty exploits through each one of us, Lord. These are your mighty men, mighty women of war. May they do be anointed to be champions. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. We want to pray for those who need prayer, laying on of hands. The guys, healing team, would you mind coming up? If you want a fresh impartation of the Holy Spirit, please come up if you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And there are people who God is telling you, you need a family, you need a church family. Come, join. We welcome you. Be part of the body of Christ.
We hope you enjoyed this message. To order more great resources by Mahesh and Bonnie Chavda, visit us at chavdaministries.org. For a full catalog of our products, you can call us at 1-800-730-6264. God bless you.